Well, this morning, we're going to head back over to Galatians once again, Galatians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn with me there, Galatians chapter 6. There's a simple game that nearly every child loves to play, and it is, as you can even see on your message guide there, follow the leader. Follow the leader. Perhaps you remember playing it when you were a child. Or if you're older, you might remember playing it with your children. And you would try to walk and get your children, no matter what age, to follow you and even how you would go. The name of the game is the only rule of the game. You have to follow your leader. You have to follow wherever he leads and even however that leader will lead. If your leader crawls, you need to crawl. If your leader hops on one foot, you need to hop on one foot. You get the idea. Well, back in Galatians, we've been looking at what it means for a Christian to walk in the Spirit. And to put it simply, in the terms of even that game, even though it is not a game, you simply need to follow your leader. And the leader every Christian has is not necessarily a human leader, talking about a preacher, a teacher, but rather it is God Himself and even the Holy Spirit. In fact, there in Galatians chapter 6, if you go back to chapter 5, verse 18, what does Paul say? He says, if you are led by the Spirit, and that is true of every Christian, if you are a child of God today, you are being led by the Spirit of God. There's no doubt, no question about it. So what are you to do? You're to walk in the Spirit because you are not under the law. So for a Christian, it is not a matter of if you are led by the Holy Spirit of God. It is a matter of since you are led by the Spirit of God. And so to walk in the Spirit means to follow His leading, to follow your leader. But how does He lead? The Holy Spirit does not lead His people in an arbitrary way. He leads us according to a different law. He leads us according to, as we looked at last week, the law of Christ, which we see there in verse 2. He says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you look at all of the context, following and walking in the Spirit has much to do with obeying and keeping the law of Christ. They go hand in hand. And so what we learn about this law of Christ is that the primary legal principle of Christ's law is love. Jesus Himself said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And so this love is primarily for God, but then it is a love for God that will then flow out and generate a love and a compassion toward others, especially those who are other believers, those who are of the household of faith. Now, the difference between this new law of Christ and that old law that was given at Mount Sinai is that now God Himself gives to His children all that you need in order to fulfill and to keep His law. The driving force is not external like it was in the Old Testament. Now the driving force is what? It's internal. In the New Testament, in the power of the Holy Spirit Himself. That's why a couple weeks ago, when we were in verse 22 of chapter 5, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if love is the guiding principle of the law of Christ, again, Christ and the Holy Spirit are joining together so that we can fulfill this law of Christ. The fruit of God's love is the fulfillment of God's law. The fruit of God's love is the fulfillment of God's law. So how does the Holy Spirit lead us? We need to remember that the Holy Spirit leads us and instructs us in the law of Christ. It's just like when a child plays follow the leader, or even Simon Says. You might have played that with your children. That leader will give instructions, very simple and clear instructions to those who are following, and that is what we find taking place now here in the Word of God. Instructions in how to follow our leader. Instructions in how to keep and fulfill the law of Christ. And so this morning we're going to look at some of those instructions. Even after Paul says in chapter 5 that we are to walk in the Spirit and bear the fruit of the Spirit, now he says this is how God leads you through His Spirit. He gives us specific and clear instructions in how to do so. And we're going to find three specific commands, three specific instructions in verses 2 through verse 6 of chapter 6. And we need to remember all of these instructions flow from the law of Christ itself. So beginning verse 2, Paul says, bear ye one another's burdens. That's the first instruction. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Why? For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, examine his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing or boasting in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate and share unto him that teacheth in all good things. Is it your quest as a Christian to walk in the Spirit? Then what we must do is follow our leader. And this morning, God Himself is going to show us some ways that we can follow our leader. And by His own enabling power, we will be able to follow these instructions on this path of our Christian walk. The first instruction that we find in verses 2 and 3 is the instruction to share your fruit as a Christian. To share your fruit as a child of God. And we see this again, verses 2 and 3, where he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So the first responsibility every Christian is given is to bear one another's burdens. We looked at this a little bit last Sunday. It's to bear one another's burdens. To bear simply means to help someone carry their heavy load. Sometimes my wife goes to the grocery store and will come back with lots and lots of bags. And to be uncompassionate is to be someone that would say, she's got it handled. She's going to take care of all of those bags, even though they might be heavy, even though there might be a lot of them. But to bear someone's load is to go out there and to help them carry those things. To help them carry those bags in. To help them with that heavy load. But the burdens that are mentioned here in this verse include any kind of struggle. Not just the bags from a grocery store. Not even just the sins that people struggle with. But any and every kind of struggle that another brother or sister in Christ may be going through. And so the first instruction that we find from the Holy Spirit is that we as believers need to share our fruit and bear one another's burdens. We need to share that fruit because of those needs of others. So to walk in the Spirit means that the needs and burdens of others will be on your spiritual radar. We're all familiar how radars work. Of course, we know that when radars were just newly introduced back in the 1930s and 1940s, it wasn't completely perfected. And that was one of the reasons why the Japanese were able to bomb Pearl Harbor was because they thought that there was some problems with the radar. The fact is, as Christians, we need to have a radar for the needs of others, and especially the needs of other believers. We need to look out for the burdens that other people are going through and the burdens that other people are carrying so that what can we do? Not just pray for them, though we should pray for them. But then we ought to come alongside them and very practically and tenderly meet those needs and carry those burdens along with them. We need to do it because of the needs of others. We need to do all we can to help them. But we also need to share our fruit because of the nature of ourselves. And we see this there in verse 3. You see, it is so natural for us to live our lives with those spiritual radars turned off, isn't it? It's so easy to live our own lives, focus on our own problems and our own work and our own issues and our own desires, that the radar, instead of being faulty, is off. And we're not looking around us to see what other needs there might be for us to help fulfill. And instead of esteeming others better than ourselves, as we find in Philippians 2:3, what do? We think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, as Paul states in Romans 12:3. You see, one of the reasons God Himself gives us the instruction to bear one another's burdens is to help us with our pride. You see, the more we think of ourselves, the less we will think of others. And the more that we think of others, the less we will think of ourselves. And isn't it a gracious thing that God not only provides an instruction of how we ought to walk in the Spirit, but then He gives a reason why? As a parent, many times my children have asked if they could do something or they wanted something, and I gave them an answer, like no or yes or whatever, and then they wanted to know why. Maybe I didn't have a really good reason at that point, at that time. And so, as most parents have said at one time or another, what do you say? Because I said so. But isn't it a gracious thing that God Himself doesn't just say, you've got to follow this instruction because I say so, but He tells us why. The reason why we ought to bear one another's burdens is because so often we're looking after our own burdens and our own concerns. And so He's dealing with the flesh. He's dealing with our issue of pride by causing our spiritual radars to be turned on and looking at the needs of others. You see, the more we think of others, the less we will think of ourselves. In fact, Paul even reminds us that any pride in ourselves is groundless. In ourselves, he reminds us in verse 3 that we are, in fact, nothing. Now, as we saw this morning in our Sunday school lesson on the video, it does not mean that a person is worthless, but rather it means that anything that I am, anything that I have, anything that I do, I really owe to God. It's not because of me, it's because of what God has done in, for, and even through me. John Calvin once writes this. He says, we have nothing of our own of which we have a right to boast. That's the idea. It's not that we're worthless, but rather any worth that we have belongs to and is owed to God. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon? In fact, he was so great that the late Saddam Hussein wanted to resurrect the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted to be like Nebuchadnezzar. But at the very height of Nebuchadnezzar's power and pride there in Babylon, what did God do? He brought him low. He brought him low for 7 years. And for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar, that great king of Babylon, was driven from men, according to Daniel chapter 4. He ate the grass like an ox. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. His hairs grew out like eagle's feathers. And even his nails were like bird's claws. He was like a wild animal. God took that powerful, proud man and brought him to the lowest possible degree. But then God did a work in his heart and changed his heart and changed his mind to the point where then in Daniel 4:37, Nebuchadnezzar said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. You see, if we have a higher opinion of ourselves than that, we are deceiving ourselves according to the words of God, according to the words of Paul. We need to recognize that we, too, can be abased from our pride. But God says one of the ways you deal with your pride is by following the instruction of the Holy Spirit and looking to the needs of others. If you are looking at the needs of others, you're going to bear those burdens in a Christ-like way. There are some times where we try to pretend like we're bearing the needs of others, like it says in James chapter 2. James says in James 2:15, if a brother or sister are naked and destitute of daily food. Now, that's need, isn't it? That's very practical need. Those are some burdens that God says ought to be on your spiritual radar so that you can go help them. But then James says, but one of you says unto them, oh, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So when we are bearing the needs of others, what do? It's not just the words that we say, but it's the actions that we fulfill. And it's the desire of our heart to truly meet those needs in the way that God helps us to do so. So to walk in the Spirit, we need to share the fruit that God is growing and cultivating in our lives through His Spirit. That's part of walking in the Spirit. It's sharing what He's doing in your life with others. And so we need to fulfill the law of Christ by thinking about and treating others simply the way that Jesus thinks about and even treats us. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 20:27? Jesus said to his disciples who were arguing at the time, who would be the greatest among them? Jesus said, whosoever will be your chief among you, let him be your servant. Your servant. And then he continues, just like the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, Jesus didn't come just so people would serve him, but rather to minister, to serve, and even to give his life a ransom for many. That is the kind of service. That is the kind of heart. That is the kind of desire that we need. So the question is this, will you follow your leader today? Will you follow your leader today? He is telling us to bear one another's burdens, verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So what should you do today? Pray. Ask God to help you follow him in that way. Are you struggling with your own spiritual radar and the needs of others? This is part of walking in the Spirit and fulfilling the law of Christ, and pray that God will help you to do just that. There is a second instruction that we come to, and that is in verses 4 and 5, where we find that we need to also examine our fruit. Examine our fruit. Again, Galatians 6:4 says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now these verses, I'll admit, are some complicated verses. They're challenging for us to interpret and understand. But I think as we get a little bit closer into these words and closer into what Paul is really teaching through the Spirit, you're going to see that when you examine yourself, it's not a selfish thing. It's not about your own goals and about your own glory, but rather it gives you a greater opportunity to give praise and glory to the one who has put his Spirit in you and is bearing his fruit through you. Let's look at these words a little bit more closely. The second responsibility that every Christian is given while they're walking in the Spirit is to prove his own work. To prove his own work. To prove here means to examine something, to test something. Just a couple weeks ago, my daughter called and said that she was going through midterms. Midterms are examinations. It shows what they have learned up until that point in time there in those college classes. And it will show their strengths and it will show their weaknesses. And so we as Christians also are called to examine the fruit in our life, to examine the works in our life. It means to examine and to test in order to verify if your work is genuine or not. That is it truly coming from God's work in your life? Or is it something just manufactured to put on display for others? The work here means the external fruit of your life as a Christian. It's simply asking this question to yourself. Is what I do consistent with who I am in Christ? Do you examine yourself that way regularly? Is what I do consistent with who I am in Christ? Now, this examination is not something that is foreign to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11:28, Paul says, let a man examine himself. We're to examine ourselves even as we come to the Lord's table. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. So part of our walk in the Spirit includes times of self-examination. But what are we to examine our fruit with? What is the rule for our examination? Well, according to verse 4, Paul says it is not to be in another. It is not to be in another. You know how easy it is for us, even as Christians, to compare our works with the works of others? We say, well, let's see, look at what they're doing compared to what I'm doing, and I must be okay then. I must be walking in the Spirit because I've been going to church, I've been reading my Bible, I've been praying, but look at what they've been doing. He says that is not the rule for your examination in this walk with God. But as we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, when we compare ourselves with others, it's not wise. In fact, this is what Paul states. They, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So, again, Paul here in this passage says, no. You are not to prove yourself or examine your own works by looking at the works of others, the fruit of others. That's not how it's supposed to work. Your mirror of examination is not the works of others. Every single morning, I do what I think most everyone else here does, and that is you look in the mirror, in the bathroom or in your room. Why? Because you want to make sure everything looks just right. Remember my dad, when he was telling me when he was going to school, there was a mirror in the hallway. And it was there so that the students, the men students, would, as they walked by, would make sure that everything was in order. And there was a sign just above that particular mirror, and it said, before you go rushing by, and if you've ever been in college, you know exactly what that means to rush by, said, before you go rushing by, check your fly and your tie. There were some things that needed to be right before they went outside. And you know what? We as Christians need to examine ourselves and see what God is doing in our lives and not to examine ourselves with a mirror of others. You don't look at someone else to see what your works are like. Isn't that what the Pharisees did? Jesus said in Luke 18:11 that these Pharisees would even stand and pray with themselves. God, I thank you that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. What were they doing? They were looking at the mirror of other people and their works and saying, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like that. But God says, no, no, no. You need to examine yourselves, not in the mirror of others. Instead, the mirror for our examination is to be the Word and the works of Jesus Christ Himself. He is our mirror that we look into and look at. And so how do we prove our own work or test and examine our own work? It's by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. You do this, first of all, by considering His entrance into your life. You look at Jesus and His Word and you discover, is He there? Is Jesus in my heart, in life? Is Christ living in me? Am I truly a child of God? Have I put my faith and trust alone in Him for salvation from my sin? And not in my own works, not in my own flesh, not in myself, but it's in Him alone. The question is, are you really in the faith? This is what you must do to prove your own works, is to make sure that they are works that are coming from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Then you must consider His enabling in your life. Are you in fact walking in the Spirit? Are you walking with Christ on a day-to-day fashion? Are you listening to His Word with your heart and with your life? Not only that, consider His example for your life. Again, Jesus is our mirror. Is your life and your love looking more and more like Him? Don't look at the lives of others. Don't look at the life of your spouse. Don't look at the life of your parents, but look at Jesus. And if you are examining your fruit in this way, then in verse 4, you will see the result of that examination. He says, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. This particular verse is a challenging verse, but before we go any further, I want you to know this is not a statement of pride. It's not talking about being proud in yourself alone. Why? He's been talking about looking to others and looking to Christ. So it's not about yourself. We know this. Instead, it means that a Christian can have a reason to rejoice, a reason and a ground to boast. Now, where does that look? It's not in your own works. It's not in your own accomplishments. Instead, your reason to rejoice is in the work of God in your life and not by comparing yourself with others. There on your message guide is a quote by John Eady, a pastor in the 1800s. He writes this, if a man examine himself and find not only faults and frailties, and I think that that would take place, right? We're all honest with ourselves. We see in our lives faults, frailties. We sin and we're weak. But if you continue to examine yourself, what do you see if you're a child of God? You'll also find germs of grace and goodness. Seeds of God's grace and God's goodness in your heart and in your life. And of course, where does this come from? These are the germs of the Holy Spirit of God who's been implanted in your heart and soul. And then he adds, then he has a ground of glory, a reason to rejoice, not in your works, but in the mercy and the power of the Savior in him. And then he says, this is really tantamount to say, it's really glorying in the Lord. If you are glorying in the works that God is doing in your life, you are glorying in God Himself. So the goal for this examination is not your own glory in your own work, but to give you the opportunity to glory in and boast in God's work in your life, in His grace and in His goodness. And that's why Paul later on here in verse 14 of chapter 6 writes, But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul understood this. Any goodness, any grace that was in him didn't come from him. It came from God. And that is why in verse 5, we see the responsibility for this examination. He says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Now, when we look at these verses together, verse 5 does not contradict verse 2. We often think it does, but it doesn't. Bear ye one another's burdens, and then bearing your own burden is just looking at a different burden. It serves a different purpose. It shows that every Christian has a personal responsibility to examine themselves according to the mirror of Christ and not in the mirror of others. Sometimes when we go through a message like this morning or any other message, we think, boy, I wish so-and-so were here to listen to this because they could really use it, right? Paul says, every man shall bear his own burden. In other words, you have a personal burden in your life. What is that? It's to listen to the instruction and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as He gives you that instruction through His Word. Every person, every Christian has a personal responsibility to examine themselves and not others because they are accountable to the Lord and not to others. It's like the prayer from the old Negro spiritual. It's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. This is my burden. This is my need. I need you, Lord, to do a work in my heart so I can bear your fruit. Our individual burden can be summed up in the words of David in Psalm 139, where he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." So yes, every man shall bear his own burden. You have a burden to bear. But what does Jesus say to you? What does Jesus say to me? Where can you take even that burden, even as a Christian, even as a child of God? Where can you take that load? Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me." Who? All you that labor and are heavy laden. If you have that burden, which every man must bear, you bring it to God and He will give you rest. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So this morning, to walk in the Spirit, we need to examine the fruit that God is growing and cultivating in our lives through His Spirit, and then fulfill the law of Christ, not by comparing ourselves with others, but rather rejoicing in and boasting in what Christ has done and is doing in our own hearts and lives. You need to take your load to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following your leader today? Are you following the leading of the Holy Spirit to examine yourself, to see if you're in the faith, and also to make sure that your works mirror the works and the heart of the Lord Jesus Himself? We need to follow our leader because He's telling us to prove your own work, and we do so by praying and asking Him to help us follow Him in that way. But then we also find a third instruction in these verses, and that is, in verse 6, to cultivate your fruit. To cultivate your fruit. He adds, "Let him that is taught in the Word communicate, share with him that teacheth in all good things." So the third responsibility that every Christian is given is here to communicate in all good things. To communicate in all good things. To communicate here simply means to share. To share with somebody. To be a partner with someone. This too is going to be a manifestation of the law of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit as it comes out in your life. But what does exactly mean? First, let's look at the subjects of this sharing. The first subject that we find in verse 6 is him that is taught in the Word. Paul is using the third person, but really it can be turned into your own person. Am I one who is taught in the Word? Who does that describe? Doesn't that describe every Christian, really? Him that is taught in the Word includes every true child of God, because being taught in the Word of God is a great privilege from God. But here's the thing, even if you refuse to listen to His Word, aren't you still being taught God's words? If you're here this morning and you are under the sound of God's Word, you are being taught whether you choose to be taught, whether you choose to listen or not. So every Christian who is taught the Word of God has a responsibility to respond to that privilege. How? Again, in the words of verse 6, by communicating and sharing in all good things. But who are they to share these good things with? The second subject that we find there is him that teacheth. Now, who does that describe? Paul is actually describing their pastors and their teachers. Remember, he's writing to the churches in Galatia. There's more than just one church here, and so there's probably more than one leader, one elder, one pastor among these churches. And of course, he himself was a pastor and a leader of them. But these leaders who were faithfully bringing to them the Word of God, these are the same leaders that these Christians were to share some things with. So what is the significance of this sharing? What are they to share? It says, in all good things. There are many who consider this to mean to share in a material way their good things. That is, to share their good material things with their pastors so that their pastors can continue to feed them the Word of God. And that is not a foreign concept to this verse. Nor is it a foreign concept to all of the New Testament. Paul writes it this way to the Thessalonian church. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. He is talking about a financial and material aspect, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And may I add that our church has honored this instruction toward the leaders and the teachers in this church, my predecessor and myself included. But what is the purpose of giving and providing for the needs of your pastor? In part, it's to show the fruit of the Spirit and to fulfill the law of Christ, which is love. Giving to support your leaders and your pastors is a fruit of the Spirit. It's fulfilling the law of Christ. But in another way, it is also an investment in your own continued spiritual growth through the Word of God. I love what Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, where he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've noticed that in my own life. As I give, my heart goes to the people and the place that I give. But the question that I had when I came to this verse, is this all that Paul means when he says, communicate and share in all good things, in a financial and a material way? I don't think so, because of the word all. All good things. So it's not just material things, though that is certainly included, but every Christian is instructed and urged to join with their pastors, to join with their teachers in the best things. And what are those things? Following after the Holy Spirit and His Word. So what do we need to join together to do? We need to join together with a greater appreciation for the Word of God. The connection here, the ground of connection in this verse is the Word. And so what we need to do is appreciate the Word of God greater. The greater thing that we can show is an appreciation and a love for the Word of God. Oh, how love I thy law. It is the meditation all the day. But it's not just that love for the Word, but then it's the application of that Word. What a pastor and a teacher and an elder loves most is to see that God's people have a quest for godliness, a quest for living after the Spirit, for walking in His Word and keeping the law of Christ. What we need to share in is an eagerness for the Word of God, to listen to it, to learn from it, to live by it, in all good things and not hold back. That's why in verse 7, which we're going to look at next week, what does he say? He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what we need to do is sow spiritual things. How? By having this partnership and sharing with the leaders and the teachers that God has given to us, so we work together and go together down this path. So to walk in the Spirit We need to cultivate the fruit that God is growing in our lives through His Spirit. And we fulfill the law of Christ by sharing in all these good things, the best things. We share with God, those that God has given us to declare unto us all the counsel of God through His Word. Will you follow your leader today? And again, the leader is not the one standing here in front of you. The leader that is being described is the Holy Spirit of God. Follow your leader. The leader of every Christian is the Spirit of Christ, and He is telling all of us to share in all good things. So we need to pray. Pray and ask God to help us follow Him in this way as well. So to walk in the Spirit as a Christian, you need to follow your leader, the Holy Spirit of God. He will always lead you through His Word to the Lord Jesus Christ and His life and to His law. So as I said before, walking in the Spirit is not a complicated thing. It's not really a mysterious thing. Because whenever you come to an instruction that we find, especially here in the New Testament, what is Christ doing? He's saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. This is how you can fulfill the law of Christ. So are you following your leader this morning? Let us follow by sharing our fruit, by bearing one another's burdens. Let us follow Him by examining our fruit and bringing our own burdens to the Lord. Let us follow Him by cultivating our fruit and sharing all good things. We need to follow our leader. Because, as we see it earlier in chapter 5, verse 25, Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, and that is the testimony of every true Christian, every true child of God, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Follow your leader. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have given Your Holy Spirit to be our leader. And of course, He is the Spirit of Christ, who is also our leader. Our great triune God is our leader. And so when we talk of the one, we do not exclude the others. And so, Father, even this morning, I pray that every one of us will consider within our own hearts and examine ourselves. Are we following our leader? Are we following His instructions to bear one another's burdens, to examine our own fruit and our own work, and then to share in all good things with the leaders that God has provided us? Oh, Father, help us to see that this is how we are to walk in Your Spirit. And that, Father, as we are doing so, we do not rest in our own works and our own ability, but rather, with every step, we look to You and pray to You for Your grace and Your strength and Your enabling power so that we can keep Your law, the law of Christ, which, of course, is just love encapsulated and then flows into all of these ways. Oh, Father, I pray that every one of us will follow our leader. But perhaps even this morning, there's someone here who does not know that leader in their life. Instead, they've been following after the leadership of their own flesh and their own will. Oh, Father, help them to see that the only place that that path will lead is a path of danger and a path of darkness and destruction. But, Father, help them to see that when the Holy Spirit leads them, it is down the pathway to Jesus Christ and the pathway to eternal life. And so, Father, even today, I pray that You'll help them and show them that they must turn from themselves and turn to and trust in Jesus, who is the author and finisher of that faith, so that then they can follow Your leadership the rest of their life. Because, Lord, that pathway leads to life and joy and all of those fruits of the Spirit that we've looked at. Oh, Father, help us now to follow our leader with the kind of passion, the kind of eagerness, the kind of earnestness that is worthy of all that You have done for us. I pray that You will be our mirror, and not anyone else's works, not anyone else's faith. But Father, I pray that we will follow after You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.